time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Kind of feels like we've come home to Ruby's Inn here in Bryce Canyon country. Garfield County, our thanks to Fallon Owens, the director of the tourism office, for joining us just before we got you that news update at the top of the hour. Tim Hughes along with Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Yeah, good morning. And I look down and it says 7:08 and we're live.
we're not
those
used to that.
Those of you that thought that we're recorded this morning, you're wrong.
Yes, here we are live. And it's a pleasure to be together again
really
down
is.
Here in this space. Bob Grove is also with us, road tripping with Bob and Mark. We'll get Mark back into the conversation coming up in about 10 minutes. Thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. It's good to have you on the road.
Love that T-shirt, too.
Yeah. The man, the myth, the legend.
Grandpa, the man, the myth, the legend. And Lance Syrett is with us. The Syrett family go all the way back to, what was it, 1916 or something like that?
1916 we came out here. And it's yeah, it's good to be here. We've been here since 1916. And
you look good.
Hey, well, thank you. I was just saying.
For being 104, you look pretty good.
They put me in the closet most of the time. They don't check me out.
I think it's the fresh air. It must be the fresh air.
It is the fresh air. Yeah.
Let me say a couple of things. First of all, we had a I noticed this guy was sitting in the lobby here this morning and was listening and taking some pictures and stuff. And when we got a break, he walked over and let us know. On last week's show, we mentioned that we were going to be at Ruby's Live and what an opportunity it was going to be to come down and take advantage of fewer people and great deals to stay at Ruby's. And I said, come join us. He and his wife came down from Bountiful.
He came and joined it.
To join us today,
cool.
Which is just fantastic. The other thing, this last week, KSL has made a concerted effort to do stories about graduates of 2020 and some of the things that they're struggling with as seniors because they don't get to walk with their classmates and they don't get the pomp and circumstance. Riding through Panguitch, they have pictures of their seniors hanging on the light post. What a cool idea.
That is nice.
Pretty cool.
Well, we noticed as we came through yesterday.
Yes, small towns, I mean – they know how to celebrate.
Yeah, I just I wanted to make sure we recognize that today. We've got the park superintendent, Linda Mazu, with us to be a part of the conversation here. I'm going to start with you, though, Lance. Talk to me about this relationship between the park and Ruby's.
Well, you know, I always say it's like being like the hotel across the street from Disneyland. Without Bryce Canyon National Park, there's not a Ruby's Inn. And going back to my great-grandfather Ruby, like I say, he helped create the national park, so there's probably not a Bryce Canyon without Ruby. So,
yeah.
So, and I always remind people like Linda when they come in, I say, well, Ruby's Inn's been here longer than Bryce Canyon's been in the national park. So we've been taking care of it for a long time, and we continue to take care. We have a great relationship. We've got a lot of programs we work together. We have a dollar donation program where when people stay at Ruby's, we actually donate a dollar of each day to Bryce Canyon National Park.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a way to augment their budget, and a lot of the fancy, you know, telescope programs, things like that are all subsidized by, you know, it's kind of a pay-it-forward program. We've been doing it since 2003, and we've donated more than $500,000 to those programs.
I had no idea.
It's a very cool program. Yeah.
That's awesome. Linda, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Where are you right now? Are you in the park?
Yes, I am. I am in the park in my my home.
Explain to us what that day was like last week when you got the green light to actually open.
Well, there was a bit of excitement in the air for staff. That's definitely for sure. You know, us park rangers, we're here to, you know, provide service and access to visitors, and we felt like maybe we were getting a little bit back to the way things were, you know, during this challenging time. So I'd say, you know, we have a great team here. They all jumped in, and we all just started coordinating and making it happen for the visitor.
What kinds of changes? It was the first question I had people asking me what kinds of changes they could expect when they got to the park. Is it going to be anything noticeable?
Well, gosh, you know, most of the park, we're trying to incrementally open the park, you know, a step at a time. And a lot of the park now, the whole park is accessible except for our backcountry area. But probably the biggest change you're going to see is our rangers are going to be wearing masks. So, we love to smile. We love to talk. We're just going to be doing it behind a mask, so that might be a little different.
Yeah.
But for the park itself, you know, the main roads are open, viewpoints all the way to Rainbow Point. Starting just this past Wednesday, we did a little bit more when it comes to providing visitor information and services in our Natural History Association bookstore. We have outdoor and indoor operations. We're testing it out. We've got some great configurations in place so we can, you know, limit our numbers and keep our social distancing. And so now in the Visitor Center Plaza and a little bit indoors, we have operations from 8 to 6 p.m. That's the newest thing. Also, we have restrooms available throughout the park, and including Mossy Cave, which is along Highway 12.
Are visitors required to wear masks?
That's where they're strongly encouraged. And so part of the reason our rangers are wearing masks, of course, to protect their own health and safety. But, you know, we love to educate the visitor. That's kind of our thing. So we're hoping by wearing masks, we will encourage visitors to do that.
Yeah. Bob, you and Mark were in the park yesterday. You said you took a trail, a hike. Which trail was it?
Well, we went to all the points from Bryce Point down.
Okay.
And along the Rim Trail.
But you said you were the only ones out on Inspiration Point.
At the time we were there, we were the only ones on Inspiration Point. It was very sporadic. I mean, it was a little busier at Bryce Point, but generally it was not what you see this time of year.
Yeah, and that's the point we've been trying to make this morning, Linda, is the opportunity maybe of a lifetime for people that live close to Bryce but have never taken the opportunity because they're busy going other places. This might be a year when they either aren't comfortable going other places or just can't get there. And so this would be a great opportunity to drive down with the family and see the park maybe like they've never seen it before.
Absolutely. I mean, Bryce is a world-class park, and it's an absolutely beautiful experience for anybody coming here. We're going to see pulses, and we'll probably see a steady increase in visitation. But right now, we're, you know, a little under half of what we usually see. So it is a different type of experience. And if you can catch some solitude here and there, it's a pretty wonderful thing.
Lance, I mentioned in the last hour that Russ and I both, we were talking at dinner last night, were surprised and glad to see so many cars in the parking lot. So things have picked up for you in this first week, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, thanks to, you know, the leadership of Linda and helping to open the National Park. Again, I said in the first segment that for a long time it just felt like we were just in free fall here. You know, you just didn't have anything to build on. But as Linda said, you know, the people are coming back. You know, we're seeing a totally different demographic. We're not seeing the Germans, the French. Those guys are all staying home right now. But we're seeing a lot of families. And as I always say, you know, you talk to the German guy that's been here three times, and you talk to the Salt Lake City guy that's never been here and lived here his entire life. So it's refreshing to see all those locals and to see the UT shirts and the BYU T-shirts and to know that, you know, the locals are finally coming to see their national parks. It's a neat phenomenon.
It seems crazy to say that, but yeah. We know that's been the case for a long time. And, Bob, it's why when we first connected, you used to do this thing called One Tank Trip of the Week, and you'd come on every week and talk about places you could go and the things that you could see that people come from the other side of the world for, and you could be there in one tank of your car.
Yeah, exactly. It was amazing how many people I had come across from the Wasatch Front that had grown up there, had never been down to Bryce or Zion or these parks down here. And, you know, I'd have people celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary who grew up in Utah that were coming to Bryce on a honeymoon. You know, it was amazing, you know. So, yeah, this is a great – and what's really interesting now is that Utah is a different market. And Lance and a lot of the businesses down here have tremendous opportunities of introducing – our Mighty Five and other natural attractions down here to a whole new dynamic market in Wasatch Front, because we have so many new people moving into Utah that are from out of the area that are not familiar with what we have down here. So it's almost like marketing out of state in a way.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Linda, where's the best place for people to go to find out about some of the programs that your Rangers are still actively doing in the park?
That would be our website at nps.gov/BRCA. And there's a whole page that we're keeping updated all the time. We do a lot of social media as well. And that's where you find information about how to, you know, continue to follow our social distancing and public health guidelines, which is really important. We're following the state of Utah guidelines very closely. And that really helps us to inform, you know, for the visitor to understand that it's kind of a cooperative effort between all of us, you know, the visitor, Ruby's, whatever, to make sure we continue to have a safe environment during this challenging time, absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to emphasize is our focus is day use right now. So, we don't have our entire staff here because of some of the restrictions we had in place for bringing staff on, and we won't till sometime in June. So our focus is day use. And sometime after Memorial Day, we'll start doing the overnight accommodations with campgrounds and food service and that sort of thing. So we're really relying on Ruby's right now to help us with our camping crowd, so we're glad you're there.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. We appreciate your time this morning, Linda. We also want to – we don't get this opportunity all the time – just to say thank you for all that you and your Rangers do every year to show this beautiful part of the world to people that are maybe seeing it for the first time. We hope that's going to be the case this year. But thanks for joining us.
You bet. They're certainly our heroes, our Rangers. I'm so proud of them. Thank
yeah.
you.
And again, deals like you would never find this time of year happening at Ruby's Inn right now. Lance, give them an idea of the savings they can have by booking.
Yeah, so last night we were selling rooms for about $69.95 plus tax, which is kind of unheard of. That's a winner rate. You know, we sell that on January 7th. That's the same rate. So. If you're going to travel, right now is the time to do it. You get free breakfast for that, you know. I mean, you can't beat that deal. And, you know, even Memorial Day weekend, you know, normally Memorial Day weekend, you know, if you want to come stay, everybody else does too. So national parks, you're looking at rates, you know, $200-$250. You know, down here it's still sub-$100 even for Memorial Day weekend. So.
Yeah. I just got a message from my son in Mississippi.
Oh, really?
Jake. He just booked rooms here. He's going to be here in June.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. And
were they going to sneak into the state and not let Dad know they were here?
No, we have my dad's 90th birthday is in June.
Awesome.
But they were planning on going down to Zion's, but I think they changed their plans.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you can hit Zion from here, too. I mean, it's only an hour and a half to the east entrance there, and you can use this as your home base if you want to do that type of thing.
All right, look, we got to take a break. Mark will join us here again with Bob, so we'll do that coming up in just a minute. Here's the website for Ruby's, rubysinn.com, or call 1-800-468-8660 to make your reservation. Come down here and recharge the battery. We talk a lot. We've been focused a lot on our physical health. It's time to start thinking about our mental health. Get out here and have a good time. Enjoy the sunshine and the clean air. It's built, folks, for social distancing the right way.
Amen.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more in just a minute.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Nice to have you listening this morning. Tim, along with Russell. Bob Grove is also here. Mark Wade is with us. Bob and Mark, road tripping with Bob and Mark. We're going to talk about that podcast for just a minute here. But, Bob, you wanted to make the point. When Lance throws out a rate of $69.95, he was telling us, what did you say, Lance, 2003? Late 90s.
Wow.
It was more than that to stay here. You don't get rates
you
like this.
You can't let
here.
This rate go. I mean, we haven't seen rates like this in so many years, and what a golden opportunity.
I'll tell you how cheap that is. We stay at the Shady Grove Motel in Green River, and we pay more than that.
The Shady Grove.
And it's not a bad place, well, but this is so much
no
better.
No reference to my family.
Let me just say, that's why I cut way back on my road trips with Russ, because he was always the one in charge of finding where we were going to spend the night.
I pride myself on $50 rooms.
And it was one of those that scared me, you know, when
you wear your shoes to bed with you.
This podcast, Road Tripping with Bob and Mark, you guys are really going to concentrate this year on the rural areas. And, Mark, you brought up something in the commercial break about, you know, you could make this a weekend trip. But for you and your family, if you kind of use this as base camp and you use the term of
hub and spoke
around the area, you two talk about some of the other things that there are to do around here.
Oh, gosh, where do you begin?
Well, we were talking earlier. Yeah. Bob and I were in Red Canyon yesterday. You know, you come down here to the Bryce Canyon area, and you come down 89, maybe you come down I-15. But as you come to this area from the Wasatch Front, for example, you're going to hit towns like Panguitch. You'll start onto Highway 12, but you'll go through Red Canyon. It looks like Bryce Canyon.
It's amazing.
Looking up at the formations, but that's out on the west side. If you go down on the east side, you've got Kodachrome Basin State Park. Yeah. You've got...
Russ got kicked out of there, too,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I'm banned from Kodachrome.
I mean, you, from here, you can go, you know, to Escalante. If you're from southern Utah, you say Escalante. Escalante.
We call it Escalante.
Escalante. Yeah. You know, to the Grand Staircase, Calf Creek Falls. That, I mean, there's a lot. That's easy day trips out of here. So you hub here. You spend time Bryce. You take a day out to Escalante. You take a day out into Cedar Breaks, maybe, which is kind of similar to Bryce.
Boulder Mountains.
Boulder Mountain.
And just the drive to the Boulder Mountains is spectacular on Highway 12.
Yeah. And there's some great, well-graded roads that will get you up on top of the boulder. And there are 80 lakes up there for fishing.
That's amazing.
And it's 10,000 to 11,000 feet. It's gorgeous up there. And people would just enjoy camping up there if they want. But come and stay at these great rates at one of these local areas and enjoy for multiple days.
Yeah, and then if you don't have a full weekend, if let's say I get a lot of people ask me, what can I do in an afternoon? What if I only have an afternoon in Bryce? What you want to do is spend your time in the amphitheater, the main Bryce Canyon area. Mm-hmm. I would just start at the top at Bryce Point and work your way down. You could actually walk the Rim Trail if you choose and get some good walking and hiking in.
Yeah.
Go to Inspiration Point, Sunset Point, Sunrise Point. You're going to see the best of Bryce. You can take the Rim Trail, or you can take down the trails that go down into the canyon. Peekaboo Trail goes from Bryce Point. You can go all the way over into Sunset Point and even go as far as Sunrise Point on the trail systems that are available down below. And you got to go down to the bottom. Don't just spend your time at the top, but you got to remember you're at 8,000 feet. So if you go down to the bottom, you got to come back up. Just pace yourself.
Well, and I want to make this point, too, because when I made that trip with my Chinese friend that I was telling you about that had never seen anything like this in his life, I brought my mom, too, who at the time was probably late 70s, mm-hmm. early 80s, or around 80 years old. You don't have to be in great shape to see some of these places. They're accessible. Obviously, mom's not going to be taking that hike down into the Red Rock. But there are plenty of things you can do if you're not in great physical shape.
Yeah, what I do often with, you know, I get groups of various ages, you know, from younger to older. And so what we do is I'll send them down the trails below the more fit, you know, younger. And then on the top, the older people who aren't quite, you know, able to take the trails down below, they can walk the rim trail. Mm-hmm. Very easy. It's a short walk between Sunset and Sunrise Point, and you can take the trail below or you could take the Rim Rock Rim Trail above. But Bryce Canyon, that's the main attraction here. But it all the way you know, you have another 16 miles you can drive to go all the way to the southern end of the park to Rainbow and Yovimpa Points. So it's a big park, and there's a lot to see. Natural bridges along the way. It's about 11 miles into the park. It's actually an arch, but it's a beautiful arch there called Natural Bridge, worth taking the extra drive to go see.
I want to throw in, too, that, you know, not only do you have all the things we've just mentioned, but there are slot canyons around here that are incredible. If you've got a reasonable vehicle, you can get on some of these back roads. You can get out to Grosvenor Arch. You can go down to Willis Creek Slot Canyon. There are places that are not far off the beaten path that are phenomenal experiences for all ages.
We've got a break for news here on the half hour. When can they expect to see some of the stuff you're doing here on the podcast?
We're uploading every week, so if you go there now, you'll see a lot of what we've already loaded, but we'll be loading what we're doing right now this next week.
Road Tripping with Bob and Mark, dixienational.com.
All right, a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk to the Dixie National Forest folks, find out about camping and ATVing there. Don't go away.